Hello there, everybody. It's Mike Arrigo, and welcome to my second podcast on Android. Wow. I got a lot of feedback on the first Android podcast I did a couple of weeks ago, and thank you so much to everybody who has sent me email and told me how much you've enjoyed that. And there's also been some developments in the Android front in the last couple of weeks that I wanted to show you. So that's what I'm going to cover in this podcast, as well as some other things that I really didn't have time to cover in the first one. And I know the first podcast was actually kind of long. Well, first off, what's happened actually in the last couple of weeks with regard to Android is Code Factory, who some of you might know, has released. They developed MobileSpeak for the Symbian and the Windows Mobile 5 and 6 platforms, have released a product for Android, and it's called Mobile Accessibility. And what this is, it's 10 different self-voicing, I guess you could call it, applications, some of which are available on the phone itself, but they decided, I guess, for a consistent interface to provide their own apps that do some of the same functionality. And the other thing they've given us now in this suite is a very good accessible web browser. Before this, there was a talking web browser, but it was very limited in what you could do. You could read a page, and you could click on links. You could fill in some forms, although it was somewhat limited. It didn't work with combo boxes, and it just, it was better than nothing, but it still had some limitations. So what they've done is provided a self-voicing web browser for Android that works very much like browsing on other platforms. So I'll be showing you that. And what they've also done is they have provided a screen reader. Actually, so if you want to go outside of their own applications and navigate the rest of the Android interface, you can do that. It works very much like TalkBack and Spiel does. And if you've listened to my first Android podcast, you kind of know how those work. And by the way, if you haven't listened to my first one, you may want to do that before listening to this one, because I will be kind of referencing some things that I covered in the first podcast, and I'll assume that you have listened to that. So I'll be showing you in this podcast some of what the Mobile Accessibility Suite by Code Factory can do, along with some other things that are not directly related to that. In particular, downloading applications from the Android market. In the first podcast, I showed you how to do it using a desktop web browser, which is how I prefer to do it, but you may be out and about, and you may not have access to a computer, so it's good to know how the market works on the phone itself. So I'll show you that. And maybe we'll look at some other apps, too. We'll see how what time permits. And one other thing I wanted to show you was how to find out what places you're close to. I know in the first podcast we walked a pedestrian route, what if we wanted to find out what other places we're close to and that kind of thing? So I'll show you a couple of applications for that as well. So before I fire up my phone, my Google Nexus 1, a couple of things I wanted to tell you about, more about the Code Factory product. It's going to be selling for €69. That's about $95 US. And you'll be able to buy it from the Android market. It's not, the paid version is not up there yet, but the demo version is. So you can, if you have an Android phone, you can download a demo of this and try it. And what it requires is a phone running Android 2.1 or above. And like I said in my first podcast, if you can, you'll want to get a phone that has at least 2.2. Because they've made some speed improvements and that type of thing. Also, you can use a phone with a QWERTY keyboard, or you don't have to have a QWERTY keyboard. And within the mobile accessibility applications, you can navigate using the touchscreen. Now, once you go outside those applications, then you will need a navigation control, like I mentioned in the first podcast, either arrow keys or a trackpad or a trackball or something to that effect. But within the Code Factory applications, you can do some gestures to navigate around. You can go up and down to move, basically up, down, left, and right moves in the appropriate direction as if you were using the arrow keys, and you can still use the navigation control if you wish. Double tapping on the screen is the equivalent of pressing the enter key or clicking the trackpad, and there's a couple other gestures too that are useful. It's somewhat like the iPhone and iPod Touch for those of you that have played with those. So if you only want to use the mobile accessibility applications, you technically don't need a phone with any navigation control. However, you do need one to navigate any part of the Android system itself, even the notifications and the screen to power off your phone, that type of stuff. That does require a navigation control. So I would still say you don't have to have a phone with a physical keyboard, but you do want to make sure that the phone at least has some type of navigation control. And if the phone does have a hardware keyboard, then it automatically has that, because it'll have arrow keys, and sometimes they have arrow keys and a trackpad. So if the phone you're getting has a hardware keyboard, you're covered with everything. If the phone you want to get does not have a hardware keyboard, just make sure that it does have some type of navigation control, either a trackball or a trackpad, something like that. And some of these newer phones are coming without those. So that is something to be aware of. What really needs to happen here is Google needs to improve the accessibility API so the touchscreen is accessible throughout the system, because more and more phones are not including this. And to say that, well, just get a phone with a keyboard or that has this, I mean, that is somewhat limiting. Ideally, we should be able to choose whatever phone we want. And I would actually love to get, there's another new Google phone. It's kind of the follow-up to the Nexus One. It's called the Nexus S. It's a Google unlocked phone that just has, stock Android. It's not tied to a carrier. But I really can't get it because, well, I could get it, obviously, but I couldn't use it beyond what Code Factory has done because there's no navigation control on it. So that's why I ended up getting the Nexus One, because I wanted a phone without any kind of carrier restrictions on it. And this one doesn't have a keyboard, a physical keyboard, of course, but it does have the trackball to navigate around. Code Factory has also developed, with this mobile accessibility product, a talking on-screen keyboard. It works within the mobile accessibility applications, and it does also work outside of that. If you'll remember the first podcast I did, I showed you a Nolan Derelict's on-screen keyboard that he had developed that talks, and now Code Factory has developed one also. So that's a good thing. So now we actually have two choices for on-screen keyboards. So that's a good thing. So that kind of removes the restriction of requiring a physical keyboard, although if you're going to do a lot of typing, a hardware keyboard may still be something that may be useful. As far as how to get the product, you go to the Android Market and do a search for Code Factory. That'll turn up the product. And right now, like I say, only the demo is up there. There's a U.S. English version and a U.K. English version, and that determines what voice is used. It's using the Nuance Vocalizer voice, so Code Factory did not use the standard Android speech framework, which in the future, I hope they do use that, because then we can use other voices too, like the Loquendo Susan voice and that type of thing, like I showed you in the first podcast. But it is using the Nuance Vocalizer voice. For the U.S. English version, it uses Samantha, who is probably well-known to a lot of you. And for the U.K. English version, it uses Serena, is the British English voice. And those voices, too, cannot be used in any other Android app, only with the Code Factory product. So, yeah, Code Factory did not use the standard Android speech framework for this. They've used the Vocalizer voice, and it can only be used with the Code Factory product, and no other apps can use it, and the Code Factory product cannot use any other voices either. In any case, you would download that from the market, and if you want to purchase it, you can do that. And then it's yours, and it's tied. The good thing too about this is it's tied to your Google account. So if you get another phone, you simply sign into your Google account on that phone, and you have access to all your apps. And then you just download and install it. So that's a lot better than before for MobileSpeak, it was tied to your phone number, which isn't too bad. But I don't know, for talks for Symbian, I don't know. After using an iPhone, which I do have, and I do switch between that and Android, it's just really hard for me to justify a platform now where you have to pay. If you switch SIM cards or if you switch phones, you have to pay a transfer fee. That's one reason why I kind of give up on the Symbian platform. And Symbian's a dying breed anyway. Nokia's phasing it out in favor of Windows Phone 7. So it's a good platform, and it was a good platform, but having to pay that much for accessibility, and then if you switch SIM cards or switching phones, that's just... I just have a hard time justifying that. Not to mention there's many more apps available now for Android and the iPhone, for that matter. So, in any case, there's really none of these restrictions anymore. And if your phone should be lost or stolen, you know, God forbid, you simply, when you get your new phone, you sign into your Google account, and the mobile accessibility suite will be there. You can just re-download it and install it. So that's a much better approach. As far as the question, well, is it worth buying this when, you know, there's TalkBack and Spiel, which are free? Well, that depends. If you want to browse the web a lot, then yes, it is. The web browser is very, very nice, and I will show you that here in just a little bit. As far as the other stuff that it provides, it does provide a calendar application that's a little more accessible. And by the way, it does use all of the same... what's the word? It does use the same data. So, like, Code Factory did not develop their own, you know, calendar that you use that's separate from the Google Calendar. It, when you add an event, whether you use the built-in calendar app on the phone or Code Factory's calendar, it's interchangeable, just like the contacts and that type of stuff. It's all interchangeable. They use the same data. If you enter contacts on the Google website and you sync it to your phone, they will show up on the phone's contacts app as well as the Code Factory app. And another reason I think why Code Factory may have developed a phone app and a contacts app and that type of thing is because some phones, the manufacturers have modified those applications somewhat. I know HTC especially, some of their phones, they use the HTC Sense interface, and that's really caused some problems for accessibility. So I think to give people a consistent interface is why they did that. Now, the other thing you'll need to do once you install the mobile accessibility from the market, you will want to go into settings, and actually I will show you some of this. Matter of fact, let's go ahead and turn on the phone, because there's a couple things I want to show you to set this up. Mine's already set up, but I'll show you what you need to do. Well, one thing is, once it's installed, when you press the home button on your phone, you will get a window asking you which one you want to choose as the default home screen. And the mobile accessibility provides a home screen, a self-voicing home screen, actually, kind of like what the Eyes-Free Shell is, like I showed you in the first podcast. And you'll probably want to choose mobile accessibility as the home screen then. My phone's just booting up here. It should be booted up in a second, and then Samantha will make herself known. Here we go.
Welcome to mobile accessibility demo.
Okay, let's turn the volume up on that a little bit. My phone is locked, and I'm just sitting on the lock screen, on the home screen. But once you install this and you press the home key, it'll ask you, you know, which one you want as your home screen. And if you've already got the Eyes-Free Shell installed or something like that, then, you can choose which one you want. If you're going to use mobile accessibility, you'll probably want that as your home screen, so you don't have a lot of double speech. And then what you'll also probably want to do is go under settings. And this part, I will show you. Let me unlock my phone here. Let's see. Slide the finger across.
Mobile accessibility demo. Phone 1 of 10.
And it says demo because the paid version is not on the market yet, so just the demo is. Okay, so this is the mobile accessibility home screen. And here are the 10 applications that you have access to. Now, I could use the trackball for this to navigate around, But just to show you that you can use the touchscreen in within the home screen and within the mobile accessibility apps, I'm just going to touch a part of the screen here.
Calendar 5 of 10.
It says calendar 5 of 10. That's what I landed on. Now, I can also flick my finger up and down on the screen, and that's the equivalent of moving up and down with the arrow keys or your trackball.
Alarms 4 of 10.
There's alarms.
SMS 3 of 10.
SMS. You got an SMS message application.
Contacts 2 of 10.
Contacts.
Phone 1 of 10.
Phone, and I'm at the top. Let's just swipe down on the touch screen, and I'll show you everything that's here.
Contacts 2 of 10. SMS 3 of 10. Alarms 4 of 10. Calendar 5 of 10. Email 6 of 10. Web 7 of 10. Where am I 8 of 10.
Where am I is like a GPS app. As you walk, it will tell you your location, although I've found that for some reason it's not as accurate as what the eyes-free shell provides. I'm not sure why that is. But keep in mind that even if you do set mobile accessibility as your home screen, the eyes-free shell will still be there, and you could launch that for that purpose just like any other application if you wanted to. So just because you have one home screen set as your default, it doesn't mean that the other ones can't run. You could essentially have two home screens running in memory at the same time. It's just that when you press the home key, it takes you to whatever one is your default. But you can have more than one of those running at the same time. It's just that sometimes you might get some double speech, which might get a little confusing. But there's the Where Am I app.
Apps 9 of 10.
Apps, that's a list of all your applications. That's similar to what the eyes-free shell provides, which I showed you in the first podcast.
Settings 10 of 10.
Settings 10 of 10. Okay. So let's go into apps. And I'll show you what you'll want to do in settings, because you'll probably want to disable TalkBack and Spiel, and then enable mobile accessibility as your screen reader. And that way, if you do that, the speech will be seamless between the Code Factory apps and navigating the rest of the Android system. So again, I could use the trackball for this, but let's just arrow back up. I'm going to flick up with my finger.
Apps 9 of 10.
And then if you want to use the touchscreen to simulate pressing the Enter key, you double tap on the screen.
Web 7 of 10.
That's interesting.
Where am I 8 of 10? Apps 9 of 10. List. Apps.
There we go.
List.
I must have.
Accessibility preferences 1 of 12.
I must have not double tapped exactly in the right place. Okay, now the way this works, it's a vertical list of your apps alphabetically. However, if you want to skip to an app farther down, you can use the left or right arrow or swipe left and right, and that in the mobile accessibility suite is the command for skipping several items in that direction. If you've got a hardware keyboard too, you can just type the first letter of what you want. So I want to get down to settings, so I'll just swipe to the right here on the touchscreen.
Clock 10 of 55, Google search 19 of 55, messaging 28, radio time 37.
Okay, now I'm just about to the S's, so I'm just going to flick down now.
Settings 38 of 55.
There we go, there's settings, and double tap on that.
Spiel 40 of 55.
Now, this double tapping it interprets it a little more as a touch, I think, instead of a double tap. So I'm going to go ahead and switch to using the trackball.
Spiel 40 of 55. Skype 39
but
of 50, settings 38.
There's
of
settings. Okay, now we press enter on that. Okay, now I'm not in the mobile accessibility suite anymore, of course. There was a settings for that also for the mobile accessibility suite of applications, but now I'm in the regular Android settings, so at this point I could no longer use the touchscreen gestures because I'm outside of the mobile accessibility shell and applications, as it were. So now I have to use the trackball. But you'll notice
call settings sound
still using Samantha because I've got mobile accessibility enabled as the screen reader, so it's very seamless as far as the voice goes from switching between mobile accessibility apps and other Android screens. So let's go down to accessibility.
Sound, dislocate, account, privacy, SD, language, voice input, accessibility, doc, accessibility.
There we go.
12 of 15.
We'll select that.
Accessibility settings, window, accessibility, checked, 1 of 7.
Okay, obviously that has to be checked. And then if you go down,
Spiel. Not checked.
Now, Spiel's not checked, and my TalkBack is not checked in here. What you're probably going to want to do, so you don't lose speech, you'll as you move around in here.
Kickback, mobile accessibility demo.
and that's installed. You'll see mobile accessibility as a choice in there. You'll want to check that, and then you'll get a little window that says, you know, are you sure you want to enable this accessibility service? You just choose OK. And then once that's done, then you can arrow up and down and uncheck whatever screen reader you had checked before, whether it was TalkBack or Spiel. You would just go and uncheck that. So that's what you'll want to do for that. Now, the other thing you'll want to do, if you have a hardware keyboard, then you won't have to deal with this. But if you want to use the mobile accessibility on screen keyboard, you will also have to go into the language and keyboard settings and enable that as well. You check the option. You'll have it for mobile accessibility once this is installed. Enable that. And then when you come to a text box, hold the trackball down for like a second or two, and you'll get a little pop-up menu that says input method. And you select that, and then you'll be able to choose mobile accessibility. And then from then on out, you will that keyboard will automatically appear any place there's a text box, at least outside of the mobile accessibility suite. Inside of it, you have to activate the on-screen keyboard, and I'll show you how to do that. All right. Let me show you. My screen just locked. Let me unlock it here. Press the power button. And then swipe your finger across the screen. Okay. I'm still in settings. Let me press the home key to go back to the home screen. And again, mobile accessibility is my home screen. So.
Mobile accessibility demo. Apps 9 of 10.
Okay. So that's what we've got here. Let me show you, before we browse the web, actually, let me show you some of the settings that are available in the mobile accessibility settings itself. That you can customize. And some of this is familiar if you're used to screen readers. I'm still sitting on the apps one. Let's go ahead and move down.
Settings 10 of 10.
And again, we're back in the mobile accessibility stuff, so you could use the touchscreen here if you wish. I tend to just use the trackball for everything, just for the consistent interface. But certainly if you want to use the touchscreen gestures, I don't want to discourage you from doing that. Feel free. Okay, let's go ahead and select settings here.
Phone settings. Incoming call ringtone, 1 of 10.
Okay. Incoming call ringtone, you can change the ringtone here, or you can also do that from the regular Android settings as well.
Notification sound, 2 of 10.
Notification sound, again, you can change that within the regular Android settings as well, but Code Factory's provided a way here to do that.
Sound profile, 3 of 10.
Sound profile, that's like silent or regular.
Vibrate when receiving a call, checkbox, not checked. Four of 10.
Vibrate when receiving a call.
Vibrate on notifications. Checkbox. Not checked.
That's pretty self-explanatory.
Advanced. 6 of 10.
Okay, there's an advanced. Let's go in there.
Advanced. List. Enable volume keys to answer / reject calls. Checkbox. Not checked. 1 of 2.
Okay. What that does is, if you don't have physical send and end buttons, what you have to do to answer a call is you have to slide your finger up on the screen, swipe upward. If you don't want to deal with that, then you can have it, the volume keys, handle answering and hanging up calls. You got to be careful with that, though, because if you want to adjust the volume during a call, you got to make sure that the phone is against your head. Otherwise, you may end up accidentally hanging up the call, which is why I've got that disabled on mine. But if you want to enable that, feel free. Use system call screens. What that does is when you get a phone call, you can use the regular Android call screens, or you can, if you check that, or you can use the mobile accessibility call screen itself, which, you know, it has been, is a custom screen. Okay, let's go ahead and go back and press the back button here on my screen.
Phone settings. List. Incoming call ringtone. Notify. Sound. Vibrate on advanced. Speech settings.
Speech settings, that's where you can change like the pitch and the rate and the punctuation and that type of thing. And that also applies to the screen reader portion as well as the self-voicing apps.
Text input.
Text input. Text. That's one to look at. Let's go in there.
Text input. List. Keyboard echo. Characters. 1 of 5.
Keyboard echo, and this applies to whether you're using the Code Factory keyword within mobile accessibility, or if you use it outside of that throughout the system, these settings apply. Key echo, it's, you can do characters, words, etc.
Speak deleted character. Checkbox. Check. 2 of 5.
And you'd usually want that checked.
Speak line number. Checkbox. Not checked.
I've got that unchecked. If you want it, you can. It's extra verbosity. If you want it, to speak the line number.
Secret mode. Speak characters. 4 of 5.
Secret mode, that's when typing in passwords. Do you want the characters spoken? Do you want it to just say asterisk? Do you want nothing spoken? You can set that.
Virtual keyboard.
Virtual keyboard. There's some settings in there worth looking at. Let's take a look at that.
Virtual keyboard. List. Always landscape. Checkbox. Checked. 1 of 6.
Always landscape. What this does, the keyboard will always appear in landscape mode. If you remember in the first podcast, I mentioned a setting in the Android apps where you can set the screen to auto-rotate. And I've disabled that on mine because sometimes you'd never know when it was going to switch, and it can kind of get annoying a bit. But with this, what you can do is always have the keyboard open up in a landscape mode, which I have enabled because it's a little bit easier to type on. It's just when you type, then you turn the phone sideways, and then when you're done, then you turn it back vertically again. But if you want it to stay in portrait, you can uncheck that.
Use volume keys to change modes. Checkbox. Not checked.
Use volume keys to change modes. What that does, you can control like what it, when you use the left and right arrow keys, how does it move when you're within, a text box? Do you want to move by character, by word, that type of thing? So that's what that does. Display keyboard on the screen. You can have the keyboard work without actually displaying it if you wish, which is fine. If you can't see it anyway, there may not be any reason to display it.
Show numeric row. Checkbox.
Okay, show numeric row. What this does is there are different modes of the on-screen keyboard, and for those of you that have used iOS devices, you know that to switch to number mode, there's a thing you press down toward the bottom, it says like more numbers, and that turns it into numbers and symbols mode. Well, this is the same thing. There's a key that switches between lowercase letters, uppercase letters, number row, numbers, and then I think there's a separate symbols one too. Well, what this checkbox does is it determines whether the the numbers row will be displayed on the regular letter keyboard. I don't have that enabled because it does make it a little harder to find keys on the screen. So you just switch to number row when you want to type numbers. But again, you can check that if you wish.
Use dynamic keyboard.
Okay.
Checkbox. Not checked.
That one, use dynamic keyboard. What that does, it basically has to do with the position of the keys. When you first put your finger on the keyboard, that becomes the H position, the letter H. And then from there you move around, and the as appropriate to find the letters. If that's not checked, then all the letters will appear in the same places. Which I keep that unchecked because that would get a little confusing. I think wherever you end up touching the key, you know, the screen, that's where the letters will end up. But again, if you want to use that, feel free. And you might want to experiment a little bit.
Advanced, 6 of 6.
And there's an advanced in here too. Let's open that just for fun. Okay, set system input method. This is another way that you can set the Code Factory keyboard as the default. If you don't want to find a text box and hold your trackball on it to get that menu. So that's what that does. All right, let's hit the back key a couple of times and back out of this.
Virtual keyboard. Text input. List. Keyboard echo. Characters. 1 of 5.
Just to refresh your memory, the back key, it's one of the 4 buttons on an Android phone. You got back, menu, home, and search. The back key is kind of like an escape key. It takes you back to the previous screen.
Phone settings. List. Incoming. Note of sound. Vibrate on note. Advanced. Speech settings. Text and audio and vibration.
Okay.
9 of 10.
Audio and vibration. Let's take a look at that.
Audio and vibration. List. Sound feedback for navigation. Checkbox. Not checked. 1 of 3.
Okay. Sound feedback. If you want that, you can enable it. That's kind of similar to what the soundback accessibility application does. I've got that disabled. There's actually another setting too in the in Android itself that provides, you know, sound feedback and vibratory feedback. So if you got several of those enabled at the same time, you're going to have some pretty long vibrations and a couple of sounds going at once.
Vibration feedback for navigation. Checkbox. Not checked. 2 of 3.
And I've got that unchecked too because I use a kickback for that, which again is a Android accessibility service that works system-wide. So, but if you want to use this one, you can.
Stop speech when tapping the proximity sensor. Checkbox. Not checked.
Yeah, if you touch the proximity sensor, which is up usually by the earpiece, you can use that to stop speech. I've got that unchecked, too, because there are times when I may accidentally touch that, and I don't want it to kill the speech. Okay, let's go back.
Phone settings. List. Incoming call ringtone.
Okay, and let's go. There's one more option here, I think.
Text, audio, and vibrate screen reader. 10 of 10.
Okay, screen reader. This is specifically for the screen reader portion of mobile accessibility, which screen applies whenever you're not using the Code Factory home screen or one of the apps. So let's open that.
Screen reader. List. Notify when leaving mobile accessibility. Checkbox. Not checked. 1 of 2.
Okay. Yeah, you can set a feature where when you leave the mobile accessibility home screen or one of the apps, it gives you a message saying, you know, you're now leaving the mobile accessibility suite, and, you know, so you need to use the trackball and things like that. The touchscreen stuff won't work. I turned that off pretty quick because it got annoying seeing that every time. But it is an option.
Speak system notifications. Checkbox. Check.
Speak system notifications. You'll usually want that checked. That's a lot of applications can put things there. The navigation app, for instance, puts your distance to your destination there. And a lot of applications use the notification area, and you can have those automatically spoken. So there's really no reason I wouldn't think to uncheck that. But if you want to, you can. All right, let's go back. That's all for the settings. Let's go back to the home screen. I'm just going to press back a few times. I guess I could just press home too. But
phone settings list mobile accessibility demo.
Okay.
Settings 10 of 10.
Now, the other thing I want to show you, if you'll recall from the first podcast I did, the menu key on Android gives you a menu of options within the current application that you're in. Well, right now we're in the mobile accessibility home screen, and there is a menu of choices here. And I'll go ahead and hit the menu key so you can see what's there.
Date and time, 1 of 6.
There's the date and time. We can select that.
5:51 p.m., March 13, 2011. Mobile accessibility.
Okay, so it gives us the time and date there, and that's the time that I'm recording this. All right, let's go down to the next option. We'll hit the menu key.
Date and time, 1 of phone status, 2 of 6.
Phone status.
Battery level 81, signal level 3, network AT&T Wi-Fi. Mobile accessibility.
Okay.
Settings 10.
So it gives you your battery level, your carrier, and it says Wi-Fi. The one thing it doesn't do that the Eyes Free Shell does, and I've already mentioned this to Code Factory, and hopefully they'll add it, it doesn't tell you what Wi-Fi network you're connected to, like the Eyes Free Shell does. But I would think that would be a simple thing to add, and hopefully they'll do that. But it will tell you if your Wi-Fi is on and that type of thing. Okay, let's see what else we've got here in the menu.
Date and time, 1 phone state, show system notifications, 3 of 6.
That's a very nice feature. If you have a notification or something to that effect, it's a very easy way to get to that. The other way to do it is you have to swipe your finger down from the top of the screen, which can... It's doable, but it can be a little confusing. This is a very easy way to get to the notifications. I hope the Eyes Free Shell adds this, actually, too. It'd be really nice. I don't think I have any notifications, but let's see if I do.
AT&T, no notifications.
Yeah, I don't, so that's okay. Let's go back.
Mobile accessibility.
So that's a quick way to get to the notifications, though. And I'll tell you, if you're using the navigation app and you're following a route, you know, directions, that's a very easy way to find out what the distance is to your destination and what the next turn is going to be. It puts a notification there for that. So that's a very handy feature to be able to get to the notifications really quick.
Date and time, 1 phone status, 2, show system, settings, 4 of 6.
There's settings, which we were already in.
About 5 of 6.
About, that kind of gives you the mobile accessibility version number and that type of thing.
Support, 6 of 6.
Support, that is a nice thing because that allows you to read the user's guide and... and that type of thing. And maybe we'll pull that up here so you can see kind of how the web browser works. And then we can also try going to a website. Let's go ahead and pull that up, actually. And you can get an idea of how the web browser works on this. It'll automatically load the user's guide then in the mobile accessibility browser. And we'll try reading a little of that, and then maybe we'll try going to another website also. So I'm on
About support.
Let's go ahead and select that.
Read manual online 1 of 2.
Read manual online.
Get support 2 of 2.
Then you got get support. Let's go ahead and do read manual.
Read manual online 1 of 2.
And it's loading.
Web. Downloading page. Page has 2 headings, 28 elements, and 2 links.
Okay.
The page cannot be found.
The page can't be found. Why not?
Page has 2 headings, 28 elements, and 2 links.
That's a little odd.
The page heading level 1, the page cannot be found. The page you are looking for might have been removed, had its name changed, or is temporarily unavailable.
Huh, that's a little strange. Let's go back and try that again, because that should have worked.
Mobile accessibility demo. Date and time. Phone. Show. Set about 5. Support 6 of 6. Read manual online 1 of. Get support. Read manual online 1 of 2. The page you are looking for might have been removed. Had its name changed.
Let me exit the browser.
Address bar 1 of browse navigate date phone state show system settings 8 exit 9 of 9.
I just exited the browser.
Settings 10 of 10.
Let me try that one more time. Maybe it can't get the page for some reason.
Date and time 1 of phone show setting about support 6 of 6. Read manual on gets read manual online 1 of 2. Web. Page has 2 headings, 28 elements.
Now that's a little
links.
That's a little strange why it can't. Well, that's okay. Let's go ahead and pull it up ourselves then. That's the page we'll go to. So let me go to the menu here. We'll hit the menu key. I'm in the web browser application now. So if we hit the menu key.
Address bar 1 of 9.
Address bar is what we want.
Address bar.
Okay, it's got www already there. Now, within the mobile accessibility suite, you have to activate the on-screen keyboard. Outside of that, when you're in other applications, outside of the Code Factory shell or the applications, whenever you come to an edit box, it'll just activate for you, assuming you've got it as the default. So to activate the keyboard, we press the volume up key.
Keyboard open.
All right. So let's do a Code Factory, so I'm going to turn the phone sideways. Typing on an Android phone on the touchscreen, it's similar to iOS in that you slide your finger around and you know, when you get the letter you want, you release your finger. But I don't know if it's because of how the screen is on this phone, but I find that I do make a few more typos on this than I do on iOS. And the other thing with this Code Factory keyboard is if you hold your finger on a key, some of the keys have alternative things also. Like sometimes it's a symbol. It just depends. But let's go ahead and type in codefactory.es. That's the Code Factory site here. So I'm just going to slide my finger around here. Okay, there's the C. Now we got to find the O.
H I O O.
There we go. All right, D.
G, F, D, D.
All right, and then E.
F, D, E, E.
There we go. Okay, F.
F, F.
Okay, A, which will be all the way over.
X, S, A, A, A.
See, I wonder if I typed more than one there. Like I say, this screen, it's a little more sensitive to just moving your finger slightly more than the iPhone is. Okay, C.
V. C. C.
Okay, T.
T. T.
There we go. O.
H. U. I. O. P. O. O.
R.
T. R. E.
Whoops, made a typo there. Let me back delete that.
O. P. Backspace.
Okay, let's see. What do I got so far here?
Oh.
Yeah, okay. I need R.
R.
Then Y.
Y.
Okay, the period, there, the, some of the common punctuation symbols are on the bottom. You got period, and I think there's a couple other ones, but in this case, the period is what we want.
B, V, space, dot, dot.
And then E.
D, E, E.
And then S.
S, S.
Okay, now, within the this on-screen keyboard, you can read what you've written also if you move your arrow keys or the trackball. So I'm going to go back to the left and make sure that this is right. See, as I thought, I made a couple of, there's too many A's there as I slid my finger around, so let me delete some of those A's out of here. To do that, I need to find the backspace again. Oh, okay, wait a minute. Okay, let's see. Okay, I think I got it. Now let me see if I got it. And certainly if you have a hardware keyboard, you could have just typed this in. You wouldn't even have to use the on-screen keyboard. Okay, I think I got it right. Let me just press the trackball here to enter key.
Downloading page. Page has 17 headings, 93 elements, and 47 links.
All right. There we are. So what we can do here is... do I have to close the keyboard? I don't know if I do or not. Let me see. Let me hit the volume up key.
Keyboard open.
Oh, no, I don't.
Keyboard closed.
Okay, it automatically closed it for me. Okay, so now we can do several things here. We can just navigate item by item if we move up and down.
Code Factory making mobile phones and PDAs accessible to the blind and visually impaired. This page link skip to main content. This page link jump to navigation menu. Link web accessibility. Link sitemap. Link without styles. Heading level 3 change text size.
Very nice. They did a very good job on this browser. Okay, there's several things we can do here. We can, if we go up and down, it navigates an item at a time. The left and right arrow keys, or left and right on your trackpad, will jump by a certain element, and you can choose what that is. It defaults to links, but you've got several other choices. And to switch the jump mode, you hold the menu key for a second or two.
Headings.
So now it'll jump by headings.
Lists. Tables.
Tables.
Forms.
And forms.
Links.
And we're back to links. And there's some other ones, too, if you actually go into the menu itself. But let's go ahead and jump by heading.
Headings.
Now, if we use the left and right arrow key here, we can go by heading.
Heading level 3, change colors. Heading level 1, image code factory, moving accessibility forward. Heading level 2, link recipient of the 2008 AF, list with 8 items.
Now I'm just moving down again.
Link. Link products. Link phones. Link downloads. Link licensing. Link purchase. Link support. Link stay tuned. List end. Heading level 2, mobile accessibility.
There we go. That's probably what we want here, I think.
Link image mobile accessibility for Android. Heading level 2, TV speak.
Okay.
Link image mobile accessibility for Android.
There we go. Let's go ahead and select that.
Downloading page. Link image mobile accessibility. Page has 1 frame, 14 headings, 232 elements, and 75 links.
Okay, so there's that. Now, if we wanted to get to the documentation, we could just jump by link. Let me hit the menu key again to set that.
Headings.
Each time a page loads, there's actually a setting. You can have it stay on the jump mode that you left it on, or you can have it default back to links whenever you load a new page. So I'm on headings now.
Heading level 3, change text size. Heading level 3, change colors. Heading level 1, image mobile access. Heading level 2, link recipient of the tooth. Heading level 2, products. Heading level 2, mobile accessibility for Android. Heading level 3, mobile accessibility is 2 products in 1.
And I'm just going to keep going through this so we get to the documentation link.
Heading level 3 users testimonial. Heading level 3 links of interest.
There we go. Okay, now let's just arrow down.
List with 12 item. Link press release of mobile act. Link frequently asked. Link read the user guide.
There we go.
Downloading
page. Click on
page. That. Page has 2 headings, 28 elements, and 2 links. The page cannot be found.
Yeah, okay, so that link is broken. That's why it didn't work there before either. I wonder why. Unless they're updating it. Maybe they're doing some kind of update to it or something like that. But that gives you a little idea of the browser. Let me go ahead and show you one more site so you can see how a form works. Let's go to... I'm going to do the same thing I did on my iPod Touch demos, for any of you who listen to that. Let's go to BibleGateway.com and pull up a Bible passage. That way you can see how it does with a edit box and a combo box. So let's hit the menu key here.
Address bar 1 of 9.
Address
bar. Dialog. Address. Edit field. www.
And it puts www in there for you. Okay, let's open the keyboard.
Keyboard closed.
Oh, it was already
keyboard open.
Keyboard open. Okay.
Lowercase mouse.
So we're going to do Bible Gateway. So we'll do B. Let's see. B
I
B
B B B
L
K L L
E
F D E E
and then G
G G
A
S A A G Y U I Y
Bible Gateway dot
dot dot
and then C
V C C
O
I J P O O
M
V V N M M.
All right, let me check that and make sure it
M O C dot Y A D E A G L B I V dot B I V L E G A T E W A Y dot C-O-M.
There we go. All right, let's press... let me close the keyboard.
Keyboard closed.
Press the volume up key there. Okay, let's go ahead and load this page. Press enter.
17. Page has 1 frame, 6 headings, 273 elements, and 79 links.
All right. We can probably skip by heading here again.
Headings.
All right.
Heading level 3, quick search. Enter the Bible passage, for example, John 3:16. Keyword, for example, Jesus, prophet, etc. Or topic, for examples, tech, combo box, new international version.
Okay, this is what we want.
Copyright 2011.
So what we're going to do is...
Button search the Bible.
On that text.
Combo box, text.
We click on that, and that should provide us a place to...
Heading level 3, verse of the day.
Oops.
Table with
I
one
bumped the track
ball preferences. There. Is currently set link new international version. For your default version, new international version. Copyright 2011. Link Bible language preferences. Page has 1 frame. Heading level
okay.
3,
I just went back to the top of the page. If you do a two-finger swipe up or a two-finger swipe down within mobile accessibility, it will take you to the top or the bottom of the page.
Enter the Bible passage, text.
All right, there we go. There's the text box. Let's go ahead and open that.
Enter text. Dialog. Edit field.
Okay. So I have to open the keyboard. Let's do one for a John 3. So then we'll have to switch to numeric mode also, which I'll show you how to do. So let's open the keyboard.
Keyboard open.
All right.
Lowercase mode.
And we'll do J.
J. Cap J.
O.
P. O. O.
H.
V. H.
N.
B. N. N.
And a space.
Space. Space.
All right, now we have to convert to the number keyboard. To do that, there's a shift key on the left side of this virtual keyboard, and if you hold your finger on it, it will toggle the what type of keyboard it is.
Shift. Numeric mode.
Numeric mode, okay. So now, and it doesn't put all the numbers in one row either. It puts it like 1, 2, 3 on the top, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and then 0 on the bottom row. So that's something you'll to be aware of also. So we need to find the 3.
2, 3, 3.
There we go. All right, let's close the keyboard.
Keyboard closed.
Let me just make sure and check what I typed here.
Free space N H O cap J OK button cancel.
And then there's an OK
button,
and a
OK,
okay and a cancel here, so we'll just hit OK.
Text John Free.
All right.
Text John Free.
Now this this combo box.
Combo box new international version. Copyright 2011.
Let's switch to that. The new international version is actually good, but let's do, New Century version. That's a good one. So if we click on the combo box.
New International Version. Copyright 2000. New American Standard Bible 23. The Message 24 of 126. Amplified. New Living King James English Standard. Contemporary. New King James. New Century Version 31 of 126.
Okay, so we'll click on that.
Combo box New Century Version.
All right. Now we just move down to the search button.
Button search the Bible.
Let me click on that.
Downloading page. Page has 2 frames, 6 headings, 306 elements, and 66 links.
All right. Again, let's jump by heading.
Headings. Heading level 4, John 3. There was a man named Nicodemus who was one of the Pharisees and an important Jewish leader.
Okay. Now, let's say we wanted to just read this. How do you do that? Well, if we press just the menu key, not a long press, because that switches the jump mode for the left and right arrow keys, but if we just press the menu key here.
Address bar 1 of 9. Browser 2 of 9. Navigation 3 of 9. Reading 4 of 9.
Reading, that's a menu.
Date and time 5 of... Date and time 5. Phone status.
Oh, okay, just for reference, you can get the phone status and that stuff within the browser too. Those menu options are always available. Let's hit the reading menu up here.
Date and time. Reading 4 of 9. Read from current position 1 of 4.
You got read from current position.
Read from top 2 of 4.
Read from top.
Read summary 3 of 4. Read title 4 of 4.
Read summary.
Read
Let's
summary
just do.
Three. Read from top 2. Read from current position
read from
1
current.
Of 4.
Let's just do that.
There was a man named Nicodemus who was one of the Pharisees and an important Jewish leader. There was a man named Nicodemus who was one of the Pharisees and an important Jewish leader. One night Nicodemus came to Jesus and said, "Teacher, we know you are a teacher sent from God. Because no one can do the miracles you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot be in God's kingdom." Nicodemus said, "But if a person is already old, how can he be born again? He cannot enter his mother's womb again. So how can a person be born a second time?" But Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, unless you are born from water and the Spirit, you cannot enter God's kingdom. Human life comes from human parents. But spiritual life comes from the Spirit. Don't be surprised when I tell you, you must all be born again. The wind blows where it wants to and you hear the sound of it. But you don't know where the wind comes from or where it is going."
Okay.
It is the same.
And if you want to stop that,
the wind blows where it
just
wants to and you hear the sound.
Press your up or down arrow key and you'll find that your cursor is right there. You want to stop it. So that's a little demonstration of the web browser. Very nicely done by Code Factory. That almost makes it worth the purchase, I think, just in itself. At least I think it does. It's great now to have an accessible browser on Android that really works well. Apparently in Android 3.0, which is only on tablets at this point, the built-in browser, Google has finally fixed the accessibility issues with that, but that's not on any of the phones at the moment, so it's good to have this. And it was very nicely done by Code Factory. Okay, let's go ahead and exit out of this. We'll just hit the menu key here and go down to exit. Okay. So that's that. Let's go ahead and take a look at the market. There was an app I was actually thinking about downloading, and since I purposely waited to try this app so I could show you how that's done. I know on the first podcast we looked at installing an app using the web browser on a computer, and then it just gets pushed to your phone. But again, what if you want to look at certain apps, or if you want to browse on your phone itself? Well, let's do that, and I'll show you also how you can view the apps that you've installed, and I don't think I have any updates right now, but I'll show you how to view all that stuff. Let's go ahead and open up the Market app on the phone itself.
Apps 9 of 10.
So again, the Code Factory mobile accessibility home screen provides a way to do that. if we select apps.
10 of apps, 9 of 10. List apps. List. Accessibility preferences.
Go down to market. And then, of course, there we're outside of the mobile accessibility framework. So the screen reader portion of mobile accessibility will take over at that point.
Clock, Google search, messaging 28 of 50, messaging market 27 of 55.
Okay, and select market there. And what this will do.
Google Maps, installed. Google Incorporated.
Okay.
2 of 16.
What this does then is there's several tabs across the top. One is it gives you top paid apps and free apps, and there's some games. And then there's a thing that says My Apps. And if you click on that, I'll just show you. But
Market Apps button. Games button. My Apps button.
My Apps. So if we click on that.
My App Market Window. Accolaner Cash Cleaner. Installed. Set Ice Free Shell. Accolane button.
Okay. So this is a list of all of the apps that I've got installed. If any of them needed updating, if there was updates, it would put those at the top. And then you would just, well, the easiest way to update them is just to hold the trackball or your enter key for a second or two. And remember that brings up a context menu for the item that you're on when you hold the trackball. And then just choose update from the menu and it'll automatically install. Okay, to do a search, we press the menu key and choose the search option. And again, we're not in the mobile accessibility suite, so once I do search, the Code Factory virtual keyboard should just automatically appear. Let's see.
Menu. Search. 1 of 4. Search. Keyboard open.
And it says keyboard open. Okay. The app I'm looking for, it's called AccuWeather. It's a weather app. So let's just type in AccuWeather. I think just typing it as one word will work. Let's see. Oops, made a typo there. Let me delete that.
Backspace. R. U. Y. T. T. J. H. H. T. R. E. E. T. R. R.
Okay, let me check my writing here.
R. E. U. A. E. U. C. C. A. C. C. U. W. E. A. U. T. H.
Okay, I got a U in there. I need to get that out of there. Let me see.
P. Backspace. U.
There we go. Okay.
A. T. H. E. R.
Okay. And then once you use your arrow keys, if you move past the text, then it just moves to the search button, which is not labeled. There's a couple places where Google doesn't follow their own standards and they don't label things, and this is one of them.
Button.
But that is the search button to the right. So when I click that, it should do the search. Okay. Now you can arrow up and down.
AccuWeather.com. Free. AccuWeather.com. 2 of 16. AccuWeather Quick. Free. Beautiful widgets. Us 2.
Okay.
AccuWeather.com.
Okay. I think it's this first one, AccuWeather.com. Let's, if we click on that, it should give us the description. Let's see.
Button. Market. Window. Button. Free. Button.
Okay. That free, that's what you click on to actually install it, which we'll do in a second. Or if it was a paid app, it would have the price there, and you would just click on that. But we can get the description if we arrow down.
The AccuWeather.com application is a global GPS-based weather center, complete with worldwide forecasts and radar. The AccuWeather.com Android application helps weatherproof your day by staying up to date on weather conditions wherever you travel. 4 of 21. More. 5 of 21. Image. Share this application.
And these are just some other things you can do.
Jeff. 3/13/2011. It is just okay. Glitchy and slow loading. Can't get other areas off there. Swipe across 15 day is not stable. Needs small touch up to be great. Droid X. 9 of 21.
Okay, these are some reviews.
Albert. 3/13/2011. Works great. Just follow Michael's instructions below to put in location manually. 10 of 21. Blair. 3/13/2011. would be nice to have radar/sat maps, but the app works as advertised. Sprint Evo 4G, 11 of 21.
So that's some reviews, and you could keep reading that. So let's go ahead and install this. We'll arrow back up to where it says free.
Albert, share the image. More. The Aku weathered free button.
And we click on that.
Allow this application to access. Storage modify, delete SD card contents, your location, find GPS location. Course network based location, network communication, full internet access, phone calls, read phone state and identity, system tools, change Wi-Fi state. Prevent phone from sleeping. More.
Okay. That screen is important to read because what this is doing is it tells you what permissions the application would want to access. And it's important to think about this. Because, you know, you need to, this is one way to avoid, I mean, hopefully, because there just was a couple of weeks ago, actually, some malware that actually was in the Android market. It's gone now. Google has found and removed the applications both from people's phones and the market. But the best way to avoid getting that kind of stuff is good old-fashioned common sense. So let's think about this. This application, okay, it's a weather app. Now, what did it say it wanted to access? GPS location, okay, that makes sense. It wanted to access network, which makes sense. Phone status, that makes sense. To prevent the phone from locking, that would make sense because if you're viewing the weather and stuff, you wouldn't want your phone. So that all makes sense. Now, had it said that this app wants to access my contacts or sending text messages or something like that, that would have definitely aroused a suspicion, and I probably would not have continued. But in this case, that sounds good. So we'll go ahead and continue with installing. But it's very important with Android to read that that permission screen, because that's, you know, again, if you're downloading, let's say, I don't know, like a like I downloaded one last night, a program to clean your cache. It cleans all the cache from your phone from all the applications. So there's no reason for that to access my contacts or to really access anything on the internet at all. And of course, it didn't. But had that app, you know, wanted to access internet stuff or my contacts, I would have not continued. So it's very important to read this screen carefully. All right, my phone locked. In the meantime, let me unlock this. Okay. And there's an unlabeled button, which I'm not sure what it does. Label your buttons, Google. But here's the OK button. Let's go ahead and click that, and that should install it.
OK, searching. Window. AkuWeather.com. Free. AkuWeather.com. 2 of 16. Installing. Successfully installed AkuWeather.com.
All right, there we are. The app is installed. There's a couple of ways we can open it. We could go back to the mobile accessibility home screen and do it. But another way, and I'll go ahead and do it this way, the notifications. It puts a notification in the notification area to tell you that it's successfully installed, and if you click that, it will launch the newly installed app. So let's hit the home button.
Mobile accessibility
demo. And let's hit menu.
Apps 9 of date and time 1 phone status show system notification 6:21 p.m.
Oh.
March 13th.
Okay, click the wrong one.
Phone show system notifications 3 of 6. AT&T. Clear. AkuWeather.com successfully installed 6:21.
And if I click on that, it should launch the application. Let's see if it does, and we'll see how accessible it is.
Notificate terms of use. By using this application, you agree to the AkuWeather.com terms and conditions in English found on our website at http://www.akuweather.com. Mula asks, OK, window, button. By using this application, button. By using this application, you agree to the AkuWeather.com terms and conditions in English found on our website at http://www.akuweather.com. Mula asks, 2 of 3.
Oh, that's interesting. Susan's kind of making her presence here.
Menu. View bookmarks. 1 of 5.
Oh, I'm in the web browser. That's where I am.
Ideal web reader.
Okay.
One.
Oh, okay. This opened up the ideal web reader. That's why Susan's talking. What this does is it views it. Okay.
Ecuador banner.
The mobile accessibility browser, it cannot be set yet as a default web browser. It only you can only open pages manually. So it is good to have Ideal Web Reader on your phone also for times when it loads a page, and you can set that as the default. And that, of course, doesn't use the Samantha voice, so that's why we're hearing Laquendo Susan. And I'll go ahead and show you how that works. Basically, you just swipe on the screen from left to right to use that browser.
Read carefully to send user license agreement before accessing, receiving, downloading, syncing, using, or possessing Oregon continuing to access, receive, download, sync, user possess software, documentation of data. The grant of license contains limitations and restrictions on your right to access and or use the software, data, and associated documentation by on behalf of Ector and its third-party providers, each as defined below.
Okay.
Will not be entitled
Let's
to
go ahead and go back.
A prepaid subscription fees for early termination of this end-user license agreement, EULA. If you do not agree to these terms of use, by using this application, you agree to the AccuWeather.com terms and conditions in English found on our website at http://www.accuweather.com. Mula asks, OK, window, button.
OK, hopefully I got the OK there. It was a little hard to...
OK, button, OK, button.
There we go.
OK, AccuWeather, window,
all right.
Button.
Now.
Currently, 12 of 25, 15 day, button. Current. Button.
Yeah.
Currently. 12 of 20 indices. Button. Alarms. Button. Alerts. Button. Risk. Button. Button. Currently. 12 of 25.
Let's do currently. We'll see what...
Map. Button. Currently. 12 of 25. Real feel registered sign. 14 of 20. 36 degrees Fahrenheit. 15 of 25.
36? Okay, is that what it is here?
Humidity. 16 of 25. 64. 17 of 25.
64. Oh, I see. It puts the label and then...
Pressure. 30.35 in. 19 of 20 wines. Any at 8 miles per button.
And we get some unlabeled buttons there. Let's see what's in the menu.
Menu. Locations. 1 of 3.
Well, we got locations, but...
Refresh. Preferences.
Well, let's look at preferences. That's always a good place to check.
AccuWeather. Window.
Oh, the
15 day button hourly button current button button.
Now we got some unlabeled buttons. That I've found is the most annoying thing of about Android apps. It's the navigation usually isn't the issue, but the developers don't label their buttons, and a lot of times they just don't know. A lot of times, once you tell them about it, they're willing to fix it. But I just don't understand why you wouldn't label your buttons initially. That makes no sense.
St. Louis button current button hourly button 15 day button map button video button indices.
I wonder what the video is. Let's check that really quick, just for fun.
Video. Mobile accessibility demo. That's 9 of 10.
That's an okay app, but it doesn't really give me anything different than the Weather Channel app, which I've already got, so I don't think I'm going to keep it. But it was nice to try. It was a free app. I had nothing to lose. So this gives me an opportunity. I'll show you how apps are removed from Android if you decide you don't want to keep them. To do that, we need to go into the regular settings screen. Actually, no, we don't. There's another way. In case you don't have mobile accessibility, I'll show you how to do it the regular Android way, because that way it works no matter which screen reader you're using. But if you go to apps under mobile accessibility and you hit the menu button, there is an option to uninstall. But I will show you how to do it using the regular Android way, and that way it works independent of what screen reader you're using.
Settings 10 of 10, apps 9 of 10.
So we go to apps,
list,
and apps. Let's go into settings. We need to go to applications.
Language and SD card and privacy. Accounts and save applications. 6 of 5, application settings, window, unknown sources, allow installation of non-market applications, checked, 1 of 4, manage applications.
Manage applications is what you want to go to.
Applications. 2 of loading, manage applications, window, downloaded, 1 of 6.
And you got downloaded, there's a bunch of things across you've got currently running, you downloaded is what we want, so.
Accessibility preference, Accolaner, 356K Air 1, 1. Around me, 580 AccuWeather, 2.84 megabytes,
okay.
5 of 38.
AccuWeather, that's what I want, so I'm just going to click on that.
Application info, window, force stop, button, uninstall. Button.
And you just click on uninstall there.
Uninstall. Cancel. Okay. Button.
And then you just
cancel. Okay.
Click on OK.
Button. Oh, package installer. Window. Okay. Button.
And it's gone. That's it.
Window.
So
easy install.
It pretty much does the same thing on the Weather Channel app does.
That's
so I don't see any reason. Plus, there's a couple of unlabeled buttons. So, I mean, just like on iOS, you're going to find some apps that work better than others. The difference, though, with Google, okay. If you purchase an app and you find that it doesn't work for you, you do have 15 minutes, and if you uninstall it during that time, it will give you a refund. Whereas with iOS and Apple, there is no refund for anything. So, let me show you one other application here, and that's Around Me. And those that are familiar, you might have seen this app on iOS before, but it is also available on Android. And it's a great way to tell what places are close to you. So I'll go ahead and show you that. There's also Google Places, which is part of Google Maps, that will also do the same thing for you. So let's go back to apps here.
Settings 10 of 10. Apps 9. Settings. Apps 9. Settings. Apps 9 of. Where am I? 8 of. Apps 9 of 10. List. Apps. List. Accolaner 2 of 55. Air 1 3 of 55.
Okay.
Around Me 4 of
Around
55.
Me. There we go. Go ahead and select that. All right, and here's our categories.
Banks, 1 of bars, 2 of 14, coffee, 3 of 14, gas stations, 4 of hospitals, 5 of 14, hotels, 6 of 14, movie theaters, 7, parking, 8 of 14, pharmacies, 9 of 14, pubs, 10 of 4, restaurants, supermarkets, taxis, 13 of 4, theaters, 14 of 14.
Now, one of the differences between theaters and movie theaters, but let's go ahead and go down to movie theaters, and we'll select that. Select that.
Please wait. Around me. Window. AMC Theaters - Esquire 7, 6706 Clayton Road, St. Louis, 2.76 miles, 1 of 17.
All right, and we can arrow down here through this.
AMC Theaters - Esquire 7. 6706 Clayton Show Map, AMC Omnimax Theater, 5050 Oakland Avenue, St. Louis, Galleria 6 Cinemas, 30 St. Louis Galleria, St. Louis,
Galleria,
3.40 Landmarks Tivoli Theater, 6000 Ivory Theater, 7620 Michigan 8, St. Louis, 4 Chase Park Plaza Cinemas, 212 North King Shiway Boulevard, St. Werenberg Theaters Incorporated Ronnie's 20 Sign, 5320 South Lindbergh Boulevard, St. Louis, 5.53 Cinema St. Louis, Werenberg Theaters.
Okay, that's a pretty good one. I'm familiar with that one. Now, if we click on that.
South Lindbergh Boulevard, St. Louis, 5.53 miles, 7 of 17.
If we click on that, we'll get some other options here and some more information, I think. Let's go ahead and click it.
Movie theaters, window, show route, button, show map, button, 314-843-43. 3, 6, 4 of 1.
See, that's the phone number.
Show route, button, show map, button.
Now, here's a really nice thing. Okay. In this program, you've got show map and show route. If we press the show route, the first time you do that, if you have this app, it'll give you one of those screens that asks you, what do you want for the default application here? And you can choose a web browser, although the best thing to do is if you choose Google Maps. What this will automatically do then is hand this off to Google Maps, and it will give you instructions. And so I'll go ahead and do that here. I think Show Map will just hand it over to Google Maps, and it'll display it. But if we do Show Route, It should hand it off to Google Maps to get directions. Let's see if it does.
Showroom, Android system, window, browser, one of three.
Okay, see, it's asking. Okay, it's asking me which one I want to use for the default here. So we could use browser.
Ideal web reader, two of three.
I'm not sure what this would do if I.
Maps, three of ideal web reader, two
of
three.
I'm curious. Let's try. I'm not going to set it as the default, but let's try this. As the let's just try Ideal Web Reader and see what it's going to do if you try to do the route on the using a web browser.
Use by default for this action. Checkbox. Not checked.
And it's not checked. I don't want to check that because I want Maps to be my default. Maps. But let's just see what Ideal Web Reader does with that. I'm curious.
Ideal Web Reader. Window. One of one.
Oh, it.
Loading.
Okay, it does something probably with the. You know what? It probably loads the Google Map page.
An error has occurred while loading the application. Please. Link. Reload.
Okay, well, we'll skip that then. Let's go back.
Movie theaters. Window. 314.8 show route.
Okay, button. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to hit show route again, and this time I'm going to say use. Use Google Maps as the default for this and do that from now on. Because then what it'll do is it'll hand it off to the Google Maps application and we should be able to get directions then.
Show map. Show route.
Okay, so I'm going to click this. Show route.
Show route. Android system.
Okay.
Window. ID maps.
So what you want to do when to set something as the default, go down first and check this checkbox.
Use by default for this action. Checkbox.
Use by default.
Not checked. Checked.
And then we'll click on Google Maps.
Driving from Lindenwood PL to Unknown Road via MO-366W Watson Road, 6.3 miles, 16 minutes, in traffic, window, driving, 1 of 5.
Okay, now.
From Lindenwood PL, driving, 1 of 5, 2 of 5. From Lindenwood to head west on Lindenwood, take the first left on, turn right at MO-366 menu, see map, 1 of 3. Reverse. Options. 3 of 3.
Let me see if we can...
Turn right at MO-366W Watson Road. 2.2 miles. Window. Head west. Driving. From. Lindenwood. Driving. 1 of 5. Driving. Window. Driving. 1 of 4. Transit. Walking. Bicycling. 4 of 4.
Yeah, driving is what we want. Driving. I thought it would give us the navigation option, but...
Driving. Via MO-366W Watson Road, 6.3 miles, 16 minutes, in traffic, window,
let's see.
Head west, take the first, turn right, to head west, driving, from, Lindenwood, 2 of 5.
I don't know what this does, it says 2 of...
Maps, window, 2 of 2.
Okay. I thought it would take us to the navigation, but maybe, I wonder what show map will do, let's see.
Driving.
Let's
Unknown
see.
Road, via MO-366W Watson Road, 6.3 miles, 16 minutes, in traffic, window, from, to, head west, take the first, turn, slight right, turn left, turn right, Unknown Road, 9 of 9.
Okay, let's go back
Maps,
again.
Maps, window, 2 of 2. Movie theaters, window.
Now,
show map.
I wonder if we show map, what that'll give us, let's see.
Show map, map searching. Start places. 3, 4. 6, join latitude. Clear map. Direction. Start. Directions. 2 of 6. My location. Endpoint. Checked. Not checked. Not checked. Not checked.
Okay.
Go. Window. 38.5267 maps. Window.
Well,
2 of 2.
I'll have to maybe play a little more with that.
Movie theaters.
But,
window.
I thought there was a way to actually...
Show map. Show route.
Certainly with the Google Places app, you can do that. And I'll go ahead and show you that one, too. That's the other app we can use to get... I just want to do this show route thing one more time here.
Getting driving from Lindenwood PL to Unknown Road by menu.
There it is. Okay, there we go. It's under, I didn't see it in the menu. What it does, okay, once you hit show route and around me, you hit the menu key once it sends it over to Google Maps, and then we hit the navigation option.
Navigation, 3 of 5.
And now it should...
Driving from Lindenwood PL to unknown, getting driving directions, window.
Head south out Jameson Avenue toward Bancroft Avenue.
There we go. Okay, so that's how it works. I knew you could do that. Once you set Google Maps as your default, then you go to the menu, and then one of the choices in there is navigation. And then from there, it will give you the turn-by-turn directions. Now, of course, we're not going to actually drive this route, but the Google GPS navigation app is actually very detailed in its instructions. We can get a directions list, kind of an itinerary of the route, and I'll go ahead and do that so you can see what the directions would have been had you driven this. For a free app, it's very, very good.
Menu, search, mute, exit navigation, more, 6 of 6.
You go to more, and then
directions list.
Directions
window.
List.
Direction, head navigation, window. 1 of 2.
Well, I thought it would work. Let's see.
Head south on Jamieson 8 toward Bancroft 8. Continue for 0.4 miles.
There we go.
1 of 9. Turn right at MO 366W West Watson Road. Continue for 2.2 miles. 2 of 9. Turn left at S. Lackleat Station Road. Continue for 0.8 miles. 3 of 9. Turn left at S. Rock Hill Road. Continue for 0.6 miles. 4 of 9. Continue on to MO 20. Turn right at Lindenwood PL. Turn right at MO 360. Turn left at S. Lackleat Station Road. Continue for 0.8 miles. 4 of 10. Turn left at S. Rock Hill Road. Continue for 0.6 miles. Continue on to MO 21 S. South Tesson Ferry Road. Continue for 2.4 miles. 6 of 10. Turn right at S. Lindbergh BLVD. Continue for 0.4 miles. 7 of 10. Turn right at Baptist Church Road. Continue for 0.1 miles. 8 of 10. Turn left at Southfield Center. Continue for 250 feet. Destination will be on the right. 9 of 10. Unknown road.
Okay, so that's the directions that it would have given you.
Place.
Yeah, okay. Well, we're not actually traveling. But let me show you one other thing in this navigation since we've got a route. If we press, let me go back. Okay, that's the navigation window. If we hit the home button, now remember how I said that in the notifications area with this navigation, if you need an instruction repeated or you want to know where you're at on the route, if you press the press home here to go back to the...
mobile accessibility demo.
Okay, now if we bring up the notifications...
Date and time, 1 phone status, show system notifications, 3 of 6, AT&T, unknown road, 100 feet dash turn right at Lindenwood PL. 1 of 1.
Okay, so 100 feet, turn right at Lindenwood. That's the current instruction. So if you need to have that repeated, all you have to do is look at the notification window, and then if you click on that notification...
Navigation window.
Clicking on a notification always brings you back to the app that generated it. So for now, we'll go ahead and exit navigation.
Menu. Search. Mute. Exit navigation. Ongoing. Mobile accessibility demo.
All right, let me show you the Google Places app. We'll look at that really fast, too, before we conclude here. And that's another app you can use that's free. It comes with the Google Maps.
Settings 10, apps 9 of 10.
For getting places
apps
around you.
Accolade, contact, select, easy install, by her trade, intersection, news and weather, spiel 40 of spiel, the weather chant, talking type, talk for SVO, SVO.
Just kind of airing around here.
Skype 30, setting, radio, places, phone 30, places 35 of 55.
Places, there we go.
Places, restaurants. L near my location. Window. Find places. 1 of 2. Restaurants. 1 of 8. Bars. 3 of 8. Attractions. 4 of 8.
Well, what constitutes an attraction? Let's find out, just for fun.
Searching for attractions. Attractions. Camp Happy Day. Not checked. 4224 Watson Road, hash 2M. St. Louis. MO. L near 3,900.
All right, so if we...
Jamieson 8. Window. Show me most... Creedshauser Mortuaries. Show me Motors. Not checked. Creedshauser Mortuaries. Not checked. 6,400.
I don't know if I'd call a mortuary necessarily an attraction, but okay.
Shrewsbury Lanes. Not checked.
Oh, that's a bowling alley.
Avenue, St. Louis. MO. 6 reviews. I've been to this alley a few times. Never really had a bad experience. 4 of 11.
Okay. So that's a bowling alley. Let's go ahead and click on that. And we'll see what options you have available in this application.
Window. More details. 7 of 13. Shrewsbury Lanes. Not checked. 7202 Wheel Avenue. At Nottingham Place. St. Louis. MO. 6 reviews. www.shrewsburylanes.com. www.shrewsburylanes.com.
And if we clicked on that, it would open it up in Ideal Web Reader, the website.
Not checked. Checkbox. Not checked.
I don't know what the checkbox is because it's not labeled, but
www.getdirections. 4 of 13.
That's a nice feature. We'll come back to that.
Call 1-314-647-1313.
If we clicked on that, it would call the number.
More options. 6 of 13. Not checked. Checkbox. Not checked. www. Get details. Email jim@shrewsburylanes.com. Game starts. Golden Tee. Silver Strike. Payment accepted cash. Discover. Master. Yelp. Reviews from around the web. 6 reviews. Yelp.com-not bad. This definitely isn't a fancy schmancy bowling alley. No. It's gritty and a little run down. But maybe that's part of the charm? I came here with friends on a Friday night, and we had no problem getting a few lanes and bowling our little. Dash June 26.
So you can read the reviews.
Now, this certainly isn't the sexiest alley in Street, Louis. But it just may be my favorite. My friends and I have been going every Sunday night for the past couple of months and have had nothing but good times. I honestly can't say what it's like Monday through Saturday. Dash December 17.
Okay. So what if we wanted to travel to this bowling alley? We could just arrow back up to...
Details. Email jim@shrewsburylanes.com. www.notchecked. Checkbox. Get directions.
You find that and then we click that.
Yelp. Review. Details. Shrewsbury Lane. www.notchecked.
Accidentally rolled the trackball a little bit.
Get directions.
Okay, so if we click that.
Please select. Driving navigation. Window. Driving navigation. 1 of 3. Walking get directions. 3 of 3.
I'm not sure what that get directions does if you don't choose driving or walking, but in this case, if we chose, like, driving.
Walking driving navigation. 1 of window. Review more details. 7 of waiting for location.
Head south on Jameson Avenue toward Bancroft Avenue.
And just for fun, let's look at the itinerary on this route and just see what directions it would have come up with for us.
Menu. Cert mute. 4 exit nav 4. 6 of 6. Directions list. Window.
Okay.
Directions list. Head navigation. Window. 1 of 2.
Come on.
Menu. Search. Mute. Exit navigation. Mute. Exit more. 6 directions list. Window. Navigation. Window. Head south. Turn right. Head south on Jamieson Ave toward Bancroft Ave. Continue for 0.4 miles. 1 of 5. Turn right at Watson Road. Continue for 0.4 miles. 2 of 5. Turn right at Wheel 8. Continue for 0.1 miles. 3 of 5. Turn left to stay on Wheel 8. Continue for 0.1 miles. Destination will be on the left. Shrewsbury Lane 7202 Wheel 8.
And again, those are the exact same instructions that it would give you as you drove or, you know, if you took a walking route. So that's... So as you can see, there's a couple of different apps for finding out, you know, places that that are local to you. And of course, if you set the Google Maps to a walking mode, then the Around Me app, when it hands it off to that, it would have given you walking directions. And of course, if you're in the Google Places app, it asks you each time, do you want driving or walking directions? So. You know, if you want to find a new restaurant or something like that or a place, you can certainly do that, and that's all free. All the GPS stuff on this is free, at least. And there's a few paid apps, I think, in the market. I think Navigon, which is also on iOS, they've got an Android version, but I haven't tried it, and I don't see a reason to, because all this other stuff is free, and it works very well. So anyway, that's a little demonstration of what the mobile accessibility application does. You know, the web browser and, navigating around the home screen a little bit. I can show you some of the other apps if anybody's interested, although, again, a lot of that stuff is already accessible within the phone itself. But the web browser is definitely a great thing. And that's how you install and uninstall apps from the market, and that's how you find stuff that's close to you. So with that, I'll go ahead and conclude this podcast. Appreciate everybody listening, and there may be a third one. You never know. I ended up doing, what was it? I've almost lost count. Was it 12, I think 13 Macintosh podcasts, and I haven't forgotten about that. The new OS for that's coming out this summer, so I'm sure we'll do a couple on that one once that comes out. But who knows? The iPod Touch one ended up turning into like three different ones, I think, and Android may be the same. I may have several series here, depending on the demand. But definitely keep the comments coming. They're much appreciated, and it makes it all worthwhile. I enjoy doing these. I do. I'm happy to share my knowledge, and I'm glad to see that people are benefiting from the knowledge. So I'm happy to share it. If any of you want to contact me, feel free. I'd love to hear from you. The email address is N as in November. So it's N0OXY. It's my ham radio call sign. At charter, C-H-A-R-T-E-R, .net. Again, it's N0OXY at charter.net. And definitely keep the comments coming there. Much appreciated. This is good. I think we finally have some real competition in accessibility that's either free or at least fairly reasonably priced. Certainly, the mobile accessibility suite from Code Factory is much cheaper than Mobile Speaker Talks was, and you don't have to pay to transfer it, you know, from phone to phone and that type of thing. So, Android is very close now, I think, to competing with the iPhone on a pretty level playing field. And in some ways, Android's a little bit better because you're not limited to certain carriers. Apple is still limiting themselves somewhat to certain carriers, which is a mistake on their part. That's why Android is actually getting ahead of them in the market, because they're still limiting themselves, even though it's not exclusive anymore. And I think Android is going to continue to gain market share. It's also passed up the BlackBerries now, even with the market share. So Android is definitely here to stay, I think. Well, with that having been said, I hope everybody's enjoyed this, and we may very well do a third one, Android podcast, depending on the demand. So definitely keep the comments coming, and we will talk to everyone hopefully soon.